Thank you for downloading today's podcast from the newsroom of the Boston Globe. Here's a look at today's top stories.
Hello, I'm Megan Irons. A rush hour train ride turned into tragedy on the Green Line yesterday. A 24-year-old operator was killed as one trolley hit another in Newton. More than a dozen people were injured, and at least seven were hospitalized with serious injuries. The rail service was disrupted, and shuttles were used to transport passengers. The operator who was killed was identified as Cerise Edmonds of South Boston. Passengers described how a routine commute turned into fear and chaos, report the Globe's Noah Bierman and Ralph Rinaldi, who reported today's story. Globe correspondent John Guilfoyle, along with a team of Globe reporters, reported from the crash scene, where he stayed for about 3 hours. He described mangled trolleys and rescuers trying to remove the operator.
From what I could see, one was crushed into the other. They were fused together. At various intervals throughout the afternoon, there would be plumes of smoke rising from the various cutting instruments that the firemen and police officers and rescuers were using to try to free the conductor. So just a very eerie, ominous scene of this wrecked two trains and the in-progress extrication that was taking place.
The crash happened at about 6 p.m. The pair of two-car trolleys were outbound from Boston near the end of the D line in Newton. The first trolley was stopped at a red signal just before Woodland Station. Edmonds was at the front of the second trolley, which bore the full brunt of the impact. The father of the victim confirmed her identity. Other passengers said they did not know what happened. One thought it was a car accident nearby. Guilfoyle said sometimes it's difficult to get passengers to open up.
Was it difficult to get the father to speak and other people to speak on record?
Well, I can't speak to that because I didn't talk to the father of the victim, but from past experience, I know it is tough. I mean, you have some people that really just the last thing on their mind after somebody dies is talking to the media. And I think our job is to show that we're not trying to interfere and that we have a noble purpose in mind when we approach people who have been victimized by tragedy and tragic events.
In other local news, Boston police mistakenly allowed the release last week of a fugitive from New Jersey wanted on murder charges, setting off a manhunt in the city and warnings that the suspect poses a serious threat to the public, reports the Globe's Maria Kramer. Police yesterday blamed a computer glitch for the release of Tormood Prawl. The 35-year-old man is wanted in Trenton on charges of killing his brother last year and trying to run down a police officer in 2006. Authorities acknowledge that individual officers could have prevented the release. Prawl was in the Boston police custody for about 2 days after officers in the South End charged him with public drinking on May 17. They took his fingerprints and scanned them into the computer database, but the results, which revealed he was wanted on murder charges, took an unusually long time to be processed, more than 4 hours, and did not arrive until about a half hour after a Boston municipal judge ordered his release. Prawl had previously served 12 years in a New Jersey prison on a drug conviction and is a suspect in a recent arson in Cambridge. Police say capturing Prawl is a high priority. Governor Deval Patrick signed the nation's first comprehensive ocean planning law yesterday to guide where pipelines should be laid, areas should be protected, and energy projects built. The Globe's Beth Daly said that a 17-member advisory commission will help state officials craft a management plan by the end of 2009, and all development within 3 miles of the state's coastline will have to abide by its rules. The law is designed to help reduce tensions among maritime users and guide energy development. It also could impose stricter safety measures to help prevent accidents such as the 2003 oil spill on Buzzards Bay. In political news, the epic battle between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama for the Democratic presidential nomination shifted yesterday to the disputed delegates from Florida and Michigan, whose fate is rapidly becoming the flashpoint for Clinton supporters' anger, the Globe's Joseph Williams and Scott Hellman report. Hundreds of her supporters, including a contingent from Massachusetts, plan to protest outside the Washington Hotel hosting the party's Rules and Bylaws Committee. The committee will meet Saturday to rule on Michigan and Florida. Supporters say they want to make sure Clinton gets the fair shake. Clinton supporters say that the fairest solution would be a 50-50 split with Clinton, but her campaign has flatly rejected that proposal, saying she should be awarded more delegates in proportion to her victory margin in both states. By contrast, Obama's campaign told its supporters to stay away. Currently within 45 delegates of clinching the nomination, Obama wants to avoid a spectacle that could harden the divide within the party. They did it. The Celtics put away those determined Detroit Pistons at TD Bank North Garden last night. The Celts led by as many as 15 points in the fourth quarter, but the Pistons rallied to within one. Boston won 106-102. The Celts head back to Detroit, leading the series 3-2. Game 6 is set for Friday.
That's a summary of today's top stories from the Boston Globe. For a closer look, pick up today's paper or go to boston.com/globe.